I fly my bitch flag at half mast.
High mystery.
Kiki, yeah!
Welcome to High Mystery.
Get your song.
Hello.
It's the podcast where we smoke weed. We talk about the mysteries of the universe. Whether they be cryptids or ghosts or disappearances, UFOs, you name it. We're going to talk about it.
All the above.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to smoke lots of weed today, just as I said.
Yeah.
We're going to be smoking Rob's blunt, so tell us about it.
Yeah. I was about to say, Colin, you're dropping balls left and right here.
If I drop a ball, I'll always pick it up.
So unlike you, Colin, you're usually so good at your ball handling.
As always, I'm Colin.
I'm Tristan.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Robert.
We're going to be smoking weed.
That's what it was.
And talking about mysteries.
Yeah.
I'm going to be drinking coffee. It's
okay. We'll just blow it in his face.
Yeah,
I do always end up with a little contact high. It sets me up for a good mood.
Yeah, and I feel like there's always a question in some people, like, is that a real thing? Can you really get a contact high?
I think so.
And I feel like, you know, like, put yourself in a little closet or box or something and pump weed smoke in, you're going to get stoned. So I think it is a real thing.
I feel like that is a real thing, as well as just the mental state of, like, being around somebody who's high. Like, if someone is on MDMA and I'm not, and I'm, like, at a rave with them, like, I'm getting crazy, too. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I feel like there's something to that in human psychology or whatever. Like, if you're with someone who has a thick accent, you slowly start to adopt it just slightly.
And oh,
it's
yeah.
like a human sympathetic thing.
Mm-hmm. That's just, like, fun to do. I mean, I try not to make it like a mocking thing. So
no,
I don't feel bad, but it's just fun.
Sure. And like, we're actors, so it's fun to practice our accents. So as long as it's not like South African or something, that's when it might cross the line. But I should probably still try South African. I might try it this episode.
Oh, God,
might have a mystery for you, Colin.
I'll do it while there's no South Africans on the
sure.
If you're South African, tune out now.
Yeah, we do have one South African listener, so.
Oh, nice. Really?
I mean, we got a hit in South Africa.
Well,
so
we did. We did have one.
We had one hit. So we'll be smoking my weed. I've got a white Runtz packed in a King Palm.
Was that there on that back shelf right
that's
there?
Right.
It was. Oh. It had the cool Willy Wonka label, so I bought it.
Yeah, I went in as well, and I was like, what's the price on that? And she told me, and I was like, I'll be looking at the lower shelf. Thank you so much. No, thank you, though. So, yeah, white Runtz and a King Palm.
Yep.
Nice.
And I think Midway we're smoking yours, right?
Sure. It's weed. I've fully lost track of what strains in there. But
it's got,
I can't
that herb
say.
And some you've THC
got, you've got the
and CBD.
Bottles right there, right?
These are the bottles I bought today, not the bottles that adhere to the weed that's in my glass jar. See, when I buy weed, I grind 100% of it, put it in my glass jar, and let it really sal it up.
And, that stew going.
Yeah, I don't know what it is anymore. They just call it a Keef blunt.
A Keef blunt. Yeah. All right.
Keefy deep.
Yeah.
Keefy deep.
And we're doing
free Keefy deep.
What mystery are we doing first? Light that blunt.
Light that blunt.
It is the time that we light the blunt.
And then smoke it.
Light that blunt.
Okay.
What mystery are we doing?
We are doing the disappearance of Brian Schaefer.
Brian
Schaefer.
Where you go?
We're all wondering. So, on April 1st.
April Fool's, it's not real. I got you.
I got you, bro.
Oh, man.
He got you, bro.
I got Brian.
Oh, man.
Mystery solved. Next.
Tristan was so fast with that, it was almost like he was waiting for the
yeah,
April
he did.
Fool's
he,
thing.
Yeah, he had that.
Just waiting. Anytime I hear April 1st, boom.
Okay, April 1st, where?
April 1st, 2006, so it's fairly recent. A man walks into a bar and is never seen or heard from again. So you can actually see this video on YouTube of him walking into the bar and then never leaving.
Oh.
So Brian Schaefer was a student at Ohio State University.
This is so close to where I grew up.
Mm. He had received his undergraduate in microbiology and was in his second year of med school. Though he was pursuing a career in medicine, his real passion was to play in a Jimmy Buffett-style band.
Oh, no. Is it possible that somebody just, like, on a scourge against Jimmy Buffett just wiped this guy off the planet?
Or was it Jimmy Buffett himself? And, like, yeah. You are disgracing my name.
You can't compete with the Buffett.
I think he turned himself into a microorganism. And yeah. Lives in a big canister of beer.
The real Jimmy Buffett fantasy?
There you go. He's what? Truly wasting away in Margaritaville.
Oh. He and his father were still mourning the loss of his mother, whom herself recently died of myelodysplasia less than a month prior to this.
Oh, so it wasn't shame at having a son in a Jimmy Buffett. I'm sorry. I could not resist. she didn't die of a broken heart.
I mean, if you look up the medical definition of that, that is what it is.
I'm sorry, I'm being so insensitive to someone whose family is still out there. Yeah. Okay, anyway, continue.
Well, on the evening of March 31st, it was a Friday, Brian and his father went out to eat a steak dinner and celebrate the beginning of spring break.
Uh-huh.
Brian's father could tell that Brian was exhausted, having pulled some all-nighters, cramming for important exams and whatnot.
He went to Ohio State. That's a 50,000-plus school. He wasn't cramming. Yeah. He was partying.
It's partying, not like he partying. Had to learn 20 Jimmy Buffett songs. I mean, there's only like three.
It's not like there was the big concert coming up. This poor guy. If he had been in a Jimmy Buffett band, this whole thing would have much more
Why did it have
tone.
To be Jimmy Buffett? He could have been like a Billy Joel cover band or something. We'd have some regard for the poor guy.
I know. All I ever remember when I think of Jimmy Buffett now, obviously I know all the music and stuff, but a few years ago he had a PSA in Florida about saving the manatees. So now all I think when I think of Jimmy Buffett is, save the manatees. They're really good. They're part of Florida's natural habitat. Save the manatees.
Often just mistaken like as mermaids.
Yeah, that's right. True.
I feel like that was like on a South Park episode. They were making fun of Jimmy Buffett talking about saving the manatees.
Cure burgers in paradise. No, they don't make any reference to the manatees on that episode. Okay. They just make fun of his style of music.
Well, his father had reservations about his son going out bar hopping with his friend William Clint Florence later that night.
Oh.
Sounds William Clint Florence. That sounds like a troubled kid right there. Man.
Sounds like a rich kid whose parents give him lots of money to do whatever he wants.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Clint is not his middle name. Clint is just what he goes by. So it's William
even
Clint.
More
sketch.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
The Clint man.
At 9 p.m., Brian met up with Clint at the Ugly Tuna Saluna Bar.
What in the world?
This guy's got the worst taste ever, man.
Ugly Tuna Saluna.
This is the bar he was last seen in for the rest of his time.
What kind of girls did you pick up there, man? Like,
say the name again. I'm mad. The Ugly Tuna Saluna?
Yes.
Just go out of business already. Why would you name your business that? Continue.
An hour later, he called.
How many restaurants and bars go under every year? It's like 70%.
Yeah, it's like the hardest industry to get into, the restaurant and whatever business.
Tuna Saluna.
I mean, obviously, you're catering to the Buffett fans, so.
A lot of parrot heads up there.
Yeah, right. An hour after he got to the bar, he called his longtime girlfriend, Alexis Wagoner, who was visiting family in Toledo before her and Brian were set to depart for a spring break vacation to Miami, where she and her family were sure he was going to propose marriage.
Oh, they had a whole life ahead of them.
Finding it hard to clown on this kid, you know?
I know. It's like upset. Are we, though? Because we railed on him for Jimmy Buffett stuff pretty early.
I'll get over it.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Clint and Brian began bar hopping down the Arena District of Ohio, stopping off at several places. In each, the two would have a shot of hard liquor each.
Okay.
Sounds fun.
They're doing a bar tour.
Or crawl.
Yep.
Yeah.
After the midnight, the two met up
after
with...
After the midnight.
After the midnight. Oh, there's my wife.
The midnight is upon us!
And now not the midnight again!
Wait until the midnight.
Yeah, after midnight, the two met up with Clint's friend Meredith in the Short North area of Columbus, and she gave them a ride back to the Ugly Tuna Saluna.
These bars are really getting my goat, man. We gotta go back to the tuna bar, man.
It's all about the Ugly Tuna Saluna, bro. Watch, it's just full of hot chicks. It's got, right, like, the yeah, best, like,
it's the best place to go
possibly ever be.
And Meredith joined them there for a last round.
Okay.
The three of them could be seen on a security camera entering the bar at 1:15 from an escalator outside the entrance.
Is this bar inside of a mall?
Why it's
is
in like escalator? It's like inside of a complex with multiple levels, I guess.
Okay, it's like next to the stadium or something.
Yeah, okay, something
all
like
right,
that.
All right. Huh.
So they're seen entering the bar at 1:15 a.m. This is the only entrance and exit from the bar. At some point in the night, Brian was separated from his friends and could be seen at 1:55 a.m. on the same security camera talking to two women just outside the bar.
First off, that's like a security or like a safety hazard to only have one entrance and exit. Like there's no fire exit door.
Well, there might be
or...
another exit, but there's only one camera, right?
Yeah, there's only one entrance and exit accessible to the public.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. All right.
So there is like a service exit, but you know, it wasn't used by the public. You can't just regularly go in and
right,
out.
Right, you gotta walk through the kitchen and the dish pit to get to that right, door or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the fact is that the entrance to this place is quite big. It's almost like you would imagine a mall entrance where it's just a giant opening. You're not like,
yeah, like
entering an exit through
Sears.
A door.
Okay.
Exactly, yeah.
So he's back out talking to these two new chicks.
Yeah, he's talking to two women just outside the bar at 1:55 a.m. He then walks off camera, presumably to go back into the bar. At 2 a.m., the bar closed.
Right.
And Clint and Meredith exited with other patrons, all the while calling out for Brian. They waited outside the bar for him to show, but when the bar had been evacuated and there was still no sign of him, they figured he took a cab home and they themselves left.
And that's the end.
Is there a blind spot in this camera where you can't see definitively whether or not people are going in or out of the bar?
Well, there is kind of a blind spot, but the fact of the matter is that you have to go down those escalators in order to exit the building.
Okay.
Oh.
So that's the only place that you can enter and exit the building as a patron, you know. Service people, there are like other exits, but they're not accessible to the public.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm the public, and I've been in a lot of places I wasn't supposed to be. Yeah. I watched a fireworks show from the roof of a mall one time.
Sure.
So he could have gotten out of a service exit or something.
Especially if he's a little drunk and daring, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. He's really drunk at this point.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Minimum, like, I'm thinking, like, 5 bar trips.
Yeah, I would say they probably had a shot at the Ugly Tuna Saluna before
start.
And after.
Well, and he drank with his dad, potentially, at dinner, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Ohio State's a big drinking place, too. I feel like you just drink in places where it gets cold.
Yeehaw.
And since this is so recent, I feel like there's got to be some phone records or, you know, like anyone try to call him or text him or what was his last call
text.
Yeah,
that's true. Does he have a cell phone, do we know?
Well, yes, it does get into that. So, yeah.
They tried to triangulate to his location.
Right? Over that weekend, both his father and his girlfriend repeatedly tried to call Brian, but he did not answer his phone. On Monday, he missed his flight to Miami and was then reported missing.
Oh, no. Yikes.
We should light a blunt in honor of his missing.
We remember you, Brian.
Wherever you are.
Police began their investigation at the Ugly Tuna Saluna, where they reviewed security camera footage. They had seen Brian enter at 1:15 and show up again at 1:55, but did not see him exit after the bar closed. There was only one other exit point from the bar, but it was through a service door, not generally used by the public, and at the time it opened onto a construction area that officers believed would have been difficult to walk through sober, let alone while heavily intoxicated.
So I mean, maybe that happened. He went out, right? Fell down a hole in that construction thing, and they just covered him up with cement unknowingly or something.
It's like. Not the first time I've heard of something like that happening.
I imagine they searched the construction site. They definitely searched the alleyways and stuff outside of it, but they didn't find him, and they searched that like almost immediately.
Did they release the hounds?
They did have cadaver dogs and stuff sniffing around.
I imagine cadaver dogs are fairly useless in a concrete situation.
I mean, they're trained to sniff for
any trail.
Death. Dead and dying.
But the difference is when you go into concrete, it comes on wet, which washes scent, which is like if you cross the river, that's supposed to be a way to deter mess with dogs. Yeah. But then also, once it seals and dries, it, like, mummifies you, probably. And it also would be airtight, so...
Yeah, you need air to have particles flowing through to smell. Right.
So, as far as I know, if he was inside of a cement block, I mean, we've obviously solved this mystery. cadaver dogs would be useless in that situation, I would think.
Yeah. But
I'm absolutely not a scientist. I'm just the high fat guy.
Well, Columbus has more security cameras than any other city in Ohio, more than Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Toledo combined.
Holy Toledo.
Well, I mean, to be fair, there's probably like two cameras in Cincinnati, so
I mean, it's not like they're... Yeah, we got a native like, over here.
We got more cameras than Los Angeles. No, we got more cameras in Cincinnati? Okay. So what?
It's an old guy turning a crank, getting a bunch of black and white. Look at this. I seen him.
I covered this whole town with my camera. They got a lot of cameras.
They got the most of any city in Ohio.
Sure.
So there should be multiple angles.
Multiple angles. Mm-hmm. So officers reviewed security camera footage from outside three other bars around the Ugly Tuna, but none of them showed any trace of Brian. Police dogs were used to find any trace of Brian and fanned out from the Ugly Tuna, where they searched dumpsters and waste containers, but they too didn't find any trace of him.
I mean, I guess we could jump down like abduction, like aliens found him like taking a piss out in the corner or something.
Sure, or like even just like a more normal abduction. Like, it's not as common, but there is trafficking among men.
Yeah.
You know, so who knows? Could be something like that. Especially someone that drunk would be easy to
easy pick target. Up
and take. Yeah, exactly.
And he was a good-looking dude, for what it's worth. Oh, so, yeah? You know, is it wasn't like some schlubby.
Yeah, Rob thinks he's
good. I mean, he's a good-looking dude.
He had a sweet ass.
So what's your type, Rob?
Search Google Brian Schaefer, you'll know. A microbiologist that looks like that.
Right? I like how you include what's going on inside as well. They have to be smart. Microbiology smart. I
mean, Rob's not attracted unless it's the whole package.
Yeah. I mean, come on. I need to be attracted to their brain first.
I like that. Keeping it classy.
So they interviewed people in the area and posted pictures of him and of his tattoo, which was a stick figure on his upper arm from Pearl Jam's album Alive, which was his favorite band at the time.
All right. Okay.
There's a little redemption there on the music taste, I would say. You know,
that's
helpful.
Oh, thank you.
A little redemption on the music. Okay.
Police even checked the sewer system under the area, but nothing turned up. Brian's car was still parked outside of his place, and both his car and his apartment looked to be untouched.
Oh.
Were they able to contact the, like, his cellular company for...
Let's have a look here.
Like, his last outgoing?
I'd hit it.
Chris would hit it.
Yep. He's hittable. Check. Well, yes. Okay, so how dare you?
Not my type, sorry.
I'd abducted into slavery.
Oh, no.
We found him. He's in Chris's apartment.
Oh, gosh. He's
chained up in the corner.
You can rent him, Rob.
Good Lord. So dark.
Wow. So about his cell phone, his girlfriend called his phone every night before going to bed, though it usually went straight to voicemail. One time, it rang three times, though Singular claimed it may have been due to a glitch or a ping from a cell tower.
Oh, okay. Mm. Like as in when it rings before it actually makes a connection?
Exactly, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But would they, can they track his location or anything with that kind of stuff?
They did have a ping off of like, I can't remember what the city name was because it's not important, but let's just say Fort Lauderdale cell tower, but which was like a couple miles outside.
Oh, but that's just like the closest tower that connected to his phone, right? So it exactly. could have just been that he never left Columbus.
It could be that.
Yeah.
Police believe that Brian may have left town in order to grieve his mother's passing in solitude. But as time passed and still no word, police began to suspect foul play. Everyone that Brian had seen that night were asked to take lie detector tests, including his father, and all of them passed, though Clint declined to take the test.
First off, lie detector tests, in my personal opinion, are complete bullshit. It's like, are you a nervous person test? Like, are you nervous right now? Are you breathing heavily or sweaty palms?
I mean, they're highly inaccurate, but the fact that Clint wasn't willing to take one to begin with is telling, yeah. So the two women he spoke to outside the bar were later identified, but they were not asked to take lie detector tests.
Their story was seemed secure enough by the police that they weren't even...
I guess they were through with the lie detector test at that point. We're not going to pay the guy to come back.
Come all the way back out, reset up his little machine.
Just to be clear, lie detector tests are, by their proponents, rated at 90%. But even critics give them up to 70%. So there is some sort of, I mean, it's not concrete evidence. Mm. They can be beaten, but they do.
I heard if you put
a certain level of truth.
If you put a penny under your tongue.
Yeah.
I've heard that. I've heard the tack in the shoe and the clenching of the butt. Like you're supposed to flex your.
I mean, butthole. I'm always butt flexing, so I think I'd pass those.
Like, he's just butt flexed the whole time. There's no way this guy's lying.
Now, did we ever find out if these two women had any association with the mysterious Clint?
Yeah, were these women identifiable or anything?
Well,
was it like Karen from the cheerleading squad or what?
Just two women in town going to a bar. There's nothing special about them. Probably other students, but they don't have any association. Complete strangers to these men.
Even so, though, it seems like you need to find out who those ladies are.
I mean, I'm sure they did some investigation.
Yeah, but I would think that whatever he said, Brian said, in the last few minutes to those women would have some kind of pertinence. I would hope that they interviewed those ladies, because you would think if he was going to be like, I'm going to Disney World, or if he was like, yeah, I just really want to get out of town, and then walks away, you know, or something like that, or... Yeah, I really want to be buried inside this concrete structure outside. I don't know, but there has to be some like pertinent relevance from the women he talked to minutes before he died.
That car parked over there with the dark windows has been following me for 3 days.
Well, at a Pearl Jam concert in Cincinnati, Eddie Vedder would ask the audience between songs for information about Brian's disappearance, but nobody had any information. Possible sightings in Michigan, Texas, and Sweden were too investigated.
Seems odd. Like, I just don't picture someone like yelling out from the crowd, like, yeah!
I've got so much information!
Let me to the stage!
How many people did get up on stage and then Eddie Vedder was like, so what's your information? And they were like, oh, I just want to get on stage, bro.
Just desperate to meet the band.
All right, no information. Let's go into Jeremy.
Eddie Vedder's like, man, I can't do that Brian Schaefer thing anymore. I'm sorry, guys. I want to find him. I know I made a promise, but it's derailing the show. It's dropping the energy.
There's a long sigh between songs. Brian's father consulted a psychic who told him that Brian's body could be found in water near a bridge or pier. Brian's father, brother, and many of the town patrolled the river searching for his body, but also found nothing.
Well, it's amazing that incredibly generic reading didn't turn up direct results.
Were any of those things near the bar area? Like,
I mean, there's rivers splitting through Columbus and whatnot.
You cut open a rock in Ohio and water comes out. There's rivers everywhere.
Yeah. It was believed that Brian could have been a victim of the smiley face serial killer who would dispose of his victims in the water and leave graffiti of a smiley face near where he would dispose of their bodies. But investigators in the police and FBI have largely dismissed this theory.
Is it because they didn't find a smiley face spray painted anywhere nearby?
I mean, it would be the first.
Did they not hear the psychic reading?
It would have been the first body that the smiley face killer left and they didn't find.
Oh, I see. Okay. Did they find a smiley face?
No. No smiley faces. After his father died from a falling branch in a windstorm, a condolence book was posted where one of the entries read, "To Dad, loved Brian," and in parentheses, U.S. Virgin Islands. But it was determined to be a post from a publicly accessible computer in Franklin County and determined to be a hoax.
What also known a as douchey an asshole. Move.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, I hope nobody from... I mean, his mom passed away, his dad passed away, he passed away. I hope there's nobody left in this family to deal with somebody who's just being a dick.
just his brother and his... girlfriend, I guess, but
that sucks, man. Don't fuck with people. Like, come on, don't do that.
Right? And for what?
Yeah,
like,
for what?
What did you gain from doing that other than like your own little pleasure? Like, oh, yeah, I'm right. Such a dick.
Ooh, I'm such a dick.
You know, I just picture him like a little gremlin fuck.
Yeah, right.
Brian's,
no offense to gremlins.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no offense to the gremlins. Yeah, they're in proud, noble race.
Right. Only the dick gremlins.
Every species got it.
Yeah. Of course, we also support the Mogwai.
In the Mogwai Gremlin Uprising.
Yes, yes.
Where is the movie filmed in? Like Chicago or something like that?
I don't know. I've seen that movie. Yeah, like Fall
Rivers,
so
Michigan
many times.
Or something like that. Yeah. Well, Brian's brother believed that Brian is alive and believes Clint knows where he is, and that is the reason he won't submit himself to a lie detector. Mm. While Brian's girlfriend believes that Brian is actually dead and Clint is hiding information.
Mm. And either way, it's like, come on, Clint.
Right? Just already with it. Come on.
Yeah.
What you hiding, bro? An attorney for Clint has... stated that his client has nothing to hide. It is just that he has already told investigators all he knows. Four boxes of evidence files are on this case, with new leads coming in every month. Investigators can say with 100% certainty that Brian did not leave down the escalator and that they have three different theories on the case, but refuse to disclose those details, even generally, to the public.
Why?
Trust me, I got theories.
Right?
I got so many theories. I got at least three, but
theories coming out of my ass.
I mean,
can't tell you about.
Well, if there was foul play, any information might give the killer an ability to get away.
I guess that makes sense.
Covers tracks, etc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like that episode of The Office where somebody's interviewing. It's like, I got a plan. Trust me, I got a plan. They're like, well, can we hear it? And he's like, okay, I'll give you a part of a secondary part. Of the plan. Move boxes.
Yeah, I can imagine that they might have some type of leads on human trafficking in the area, and maybe that's what happened to him, and they don't want to like give up any type of ongoing
leverage,
investigation
sure,
or something
sure.
like that. You know,
I guess that makes sense.
But I mean, that's just one of my theories about what their theories might be.
They don't want to blow this cover.
Or maybe they know it's aliens. And just by telling us that it's aliens, you know, the mass hysteria BS or whatever.
Yeah. Or maybe that Brian never existed.
But it was just a figment of our imagination.
Not even on the
taking shots.
He was always a ghost. He was always Bruce Willis. And
we all have a Brian inside of us, is what he's trying to say.
Was there a high history of human trafficking in the area? Like, I mean,
that's what I was thinking.
I mean, I don't know those that deep information.
I'm sure it's just human trafficking.
Yeah, everywhere. It's got to really be just as high as in any other type of major metropolitan city. Certainly, as one as shady as Columbus.
Shady as Columbus.
Is Columbus
most,
shady?
Most security cameras than any other city. Three of the major cities of Ohio combined.
I mean, I've never really thought of Columbus as like
a dangerous
right any of the times that
neither
I was
did
there,
I never thought that of Sacramento, and then I got mugged like the second week I lived there. So,
I mean, I've been to Sacramento. There's definitely not a safe place in there.
Yeah, but you think, you know, it's so beautiful here. Oh, you got all these politicians and stuff.
Yeah, it's, capital. It's the capital as well.
Exactly.
I mean,
so
I guess
you know.
I've never thought that. I'm not like, ooh, nice. Government and buildings and politicians. That sounds nice.
I mean, I lived there when Schwarzenegger was the governor, so he would drive past my place quite frequently, and it was kind of like, nice.
What is up, Rob?
And buy weed off you.
Yeah, so that's when everything like was. It was beautiful, you know. That's when things were beautiful. He's like, "Hey, we got to fix this thing up."
Rob, I love your physique. Forget about Brian.
If you didn't watch the what's the name of the
Celebrity
show?
Apprentice.
Yeah. If you didn't watch The Celebrity Apprentice with Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'll tell you, it's a treat.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, Hulu? It's a lot of Arnold. Huh?
Is that on Hulu?
Good question. I don't know where you can find it.
I mean, you watched it probably on Hulu, because I know that's when I saw it.
That sounds right.
Yeah. I don't know if it's still on. It might have been one of those things that they just updated
Took
weekly.
Out of rotation or something.
Yeah, it's like what the show would have been if Donald Trump had never been involved. Yeah, that's his show, and he talked a lot of shit on Arnold because it wasn't as successful for Arnold's season.
Yeah, and I mean, that's probably just because, you know, people don't want to support Trump-made products.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like coming from him being like, oh, it wasn't as good as mine, doesn't make me feel like it was actually not as good as his, because he says his things are the best all the time.
Yeah, that's
not
true. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, like
sure.
So many people came out to my inauguration.
Yeah,
all the people.
I mean,
no one showed up.
I think what it was is that he definitely had the highest ratings at one point when he was on The Apprentice, but I think also his ratings have dropped below what Arnold's was. So he can argue the fact that, yeah, I did have it, you know, but that's like when the show premiered or like during a very Omarosa-y season
or
something.
We always ask for comments, and I feel like if we talk a little more about Trump, we'll just guarantee a flurry of comments. Just a flood.
Don't you forget, he was on Home Alone 2. He made a great appearance as the hotel guy.
He's America's entertainer.
He's a businessman.
Okay.
All right.
Is there anything, like, any other theories we might have on this? I'm trying to think of a cryptid that just, like, literally consumes things, but I can't really think of one that would just, like, lift somebody out of a place. You know what I mean? Because there's only one way in and one way out.
Maybe a flesh gate got him, took his own skin, and is now running around as Brian, but not really Brian.
A flesh gate's perfect opportunity.
Right.
A drunk person.
Yes. Already acting weird as fuck.
Opportunity. Yeah.
No one's gonna know if you come back in and you're acting weird because they just assume you're drunk.
The flesh gate like got separated from them, and he had managed to stay with his friends all night up until that point.
Oh yeah, and Clint is just so afraid to be like, yo, flesh gate.
Yes.
You know, because then you sound like a fucking crazy person. Oh my
God. There's a flesh gate lurking in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So Clint.
Yeah.
Does Clint have any sort of criminal record, or do we have opinions about this guy? Was he sketchy? Did he end up, I mean,
was he jealous of his good looks?
Was he secretly in love with the fiance? Was there
doubtful.
You know?
Do we know anything about the fiance beyond this incident? Did she ever like get married to anybody else or
as far as I know, she's still
Mourning
or something like that. But I mean, you know, there's no constant updates with her. You know,
as Helen Hunt taught us in Castaway. You can only wait so long. For her, it was about 3 years. So
we're right about there.
Yeah. Well, we're at 12 years, right?
Yeah.
13 years.
Jesus.
2006, not 2016.
13 years.
I don't know.
2006, I was getting out of the Navy. I would be almost retired at least.
I was graduating high school.
Damn. Brian's been gone.
Everyone feels old.
For 13 years. It seems like it was just yesterday when I was thinking of that timeline.
Well, tell us what you think happened to Brian. Did he just get distracted in a mirror and continue to look at himself for the rest of the evening?
Right.
Then turn into stone.
Did a fleshlight get him?
A fleshlight.
Whoa, what is this? And he just turned off in the bathroom for eternity.
Yep. He just ran out of back exit, you know.
I'm sorry, like, what are they called?
Fleshgate.
Yeah, same thing.
Fleshgate, the fleshlight.
A little different.
I think you get the fleshlight. The fleshgate gets you.
All right, I'm clear.
I mean, obviously alien abduction. They could zap him right up.
Right.
That explains it.
But yeah,
was he Rh negative? Do we know his blood type?
Was he cicada?
It's hard to believe that.
Was he a cicada? Did he bury into the ground for 13 years?
What was his phone number? Was it
088? These are all references to our other episodes. Hopefully you're listening to High Mitch.
Shameless self-promotion. Check us out. Check us on our other shows.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah.
Instagram.
All that internet
YouTube.
Stuff.
Under the
Spotify,
bed.
Boom. iTunes. We really welcome your comments. We really want more fan art. We've had a little bit. We'd love to see more.
We got a couple of people that commented on our Instagram and Facebook recently.
Yeah.
One was on the Lizzie Borden one. Somebody was listening to it while packing, and they were talking about there's a punk rock album dedicated to Lizzie Borden or something like that about the whole Lizzie Borden thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, or a song or something like that called Lizzie. But yeah. And another guy sent me a fucking picture of a scrat.
I'll show it to you. We'll take that picture and we'll put it on our shirt. Find our shirts at highmystery.com.
He's got to have like really blazy eyes and like
smoking a bong or something. I got scrats. Thank you so much for listening to us. I'm Colin.
I'm Tristan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Robert. Good night. Bye.